You're joining us for the first time. We're preaching through Paul's letter to the church at Corinth because we believe that the Bible is God's word and has final authority in our lives. And therefore, we take the word of God seriously and we let it speak to us. I believe with all my heart that the pastor's task is to preach the word of God faithfully and to help God's people understand that word clearly and apply it to their lives. Because as we live by the word, we are changed from the world. And really, that's what the whole issue is today in this message is, how do we glorify God in our bodies? And what I want you to come away with, one of the things I want you to come away with is this. Real glorifying God in your body doesn't just mean following this list of rules that you do and following this list of rules that you don't. Because you have people that did all that and they didn't glorify God. The Pharisees had 600 and something rules, and they did all the do's, and they didn't do any of the don'ts, but they couldn't say, I have glorified you on earth. What does it mean to glorify God? It means that the glory of God so shines through your life that the world sees Him in you, and it is attractive. It's not your attractive. The Bible says about Jesus, He had no former comeliness that when we see Him, we would desire Him. He wasn't attractive, but the glory of God that rested upon Him was attractive. Because glory is attractive. The very presence, the manifest presence of God in the life of a believer ought to be attractive. It ought to draw people. You ought to want to know God. Now, it ought to repel some other people. There are going to be some people that will be afraid of the glory. They won't like the glory of God on you because they will see you as profoundly different. But that is God's intention for our body. What was going on in Corinth is no different from what goes on today. In Corinth, there were people who thought their body was a canvas, and they decorated the body for the world to see, and they put on the outside of the body, and that became the focus of their body. There was a group of people at Corinth that were called libertines who said, you know what, it doesn't really matter what you do with the body. The spirit's the only thing that matters, so you can do whatever you want with your body and it won't change you because the body's a nothing. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches us that we are one person, spirit, soul, and body. And yes, we will die, but one day this body will be resurrected and it will be transformed and you will still have a body. You'll still be somebody in heaven. You'll have a body. It'll be glorified. It'll be changed. In fact, we get to the end of this letter, we're going to see some things that Paul says about the new body that we'll have. But we'll still have a body. And we are people who have a body. And so the question is what do you do with this body? Is your body merely a physical, is it for physical satisfaction only? Or is your body a temple of the living God, a dwelling place of the Spirit of God? And you see, that's who you are. You and I are a temple of the living God and a dwelling place of the Spirit of God. So let's look at these passages in 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 12, and let's read together. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Food's for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord, that is Jesus, and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This passage is very strong medicine. But Paul is dealing with a church that has two kinds of people. They have a whole group of libertines who say, it doesn't matter what we do to the body, we can still be spiritual. We can do whatever we want, and we're still spiritual. And then he has another group called ascetics. And ascetics are people who say, our task is to buffet the body and hold it down and never have any pleasure. And that's spirituality. And Paul says, no, neither one of those are. glorifying God in your body is what's spiritual. So let's look at the arguments that Paul writes out, because really what Paul's doing is, remember, he's answering questions that are coming up from the people in Corinth. And I believe these are two quotes that are thrown out, and I want you to see. The first one is, the arguments for misusing the body, the first one is everything is lawful. There are people who just say, well, everything is lawful. Hey, we've been saved. I've been forgiven of all my sin. I can do whatever I want. And in one sense, that is true. Jesus Christ has so paid the price for your sin that if you are a Christian who has put his or her faith in Jesus, all of your sin is forgiven. All of it, past, present, and future. You really are that free in Christ. Your sin is truly forgiven. All of them. That's the truth. And that's where part of this comes from. Everything is lawful. That's what it says. But here's what was happening. These guys, were throwing out the everything is lawful thing, and they were using it for anything they wanted to do. And so Paul said, everything is lawful is not necessarily the right argument. The second thing they were saying is, well, physical matters only matter physically. So you know what? If I eat, it only affects the body. Jesus even said so. He said, it doesn't matter what you eat. He said, you can eat whatever you want. It just goes in and goes out. It doesn't change you spiritually. And so it doesn't matter what I eat. If I get drunk, if I overeat, if I'm a glutton with my body, who cares? Because it's not the body, it's the spirit. And that was their argument. They said, listen, in sex only affects the physical body. I can do that and still be spiritual and be right with God. And that's the argument they were throwing out. And here's what's happening. They're saying, well, you see, I can divide my life up. I can have this life. And we have teenagers doing this. They'll go out and party with their friends, and they'll be immoral, and then they'll come to church on Sunday and sing and raise their hands and pray. It's happened here. I've watched kids that I knew were out being immoral. I'm not talking about right now, but I've been over the 13 years I've been the pastor here. I've watched kids out. I've watched them. I know what they did on Saturday night. I know they got high. I know they had sex. And Sunday morning, they come in and they've got their hands raised and they're praising God because they're saying, my physical body doesn't affect anything else I do. And the Bible says no to that. The Bible says that's not true. You see, these arguments for misusing the body are as old as the church at Corinth, and really as old as Exodus. So these arguments are not new. They just get recycled. The enemy throws them out, and they come up again and again, and they sound good, and they appeal to us, because what they really say is you can be spiritual and still gratify the flesh. And Paul's going to answer them. Notice the answer to misusing the body. He says, number one, everything is lawful, but. And he gives two. Really, I'm going to bring out three warnings. Number one, he says everything is lawful, but not everything is beneficial. Just because it's lawful to do something doesn't mean you have to do it or that it's going to help you if you do it. Not everything is helpful in this life. You say, well, I can go get drunk if I want to. Sure you can, but is that helpful? I can take you to friends. When I was working at Giant Foods, I had a friend on my crew. He was in his 20s, and he already had a prison record. He had been driving his Mustang, racing it, and he was drunk. And a girl was drunk, and she stepped off the curb, and he hit her so hard, he embedded her face on the hood of his Mustang and killed her. And he never got over it. Oh, yeah, you can do it. But is it beneficial? Do you wake up the next morning and think, man, what did I do? What did I mess up my life and do? How did I just destroy a part of my life? You see, yes, you can do these things, but honestly, you have to ask yourself this question. Is it really going to help me now and down the road? Is this going to be something that I'm going to be ashamed of later or proud of later? See, it's not beneficial. Why in the world would you do something that you know is going to harm you or others? The momentary pleasure that you get from it, Paul says, it's not worth it. It's just not. Notice he says this. He says not only is everything, not everything is beneficial, but he says this, some things are actually enslaving. Look what he says there in verse 12 again. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This word brought under the power of is all one big verb, and it literally means to be enslaved under the authority of something. It's a word that's used of when a demon possesses somebody. How many of you really want to be enslaved by some sin that controls your life? It looks attractive. It looks like fun. But let me tell you something. When it takes control, it rules you. It is your master. When I became a Christian, I smoked. But I smoked 2 packs a day. I was only 19. But it was modeled in front of me. I started smoking. I'd smoked for years. I'm not proud of it, so please don't think that. You know what happened? I gave my life to Jesus, and I began to get serious about following this person, Jesus, and to get to know him better. And I was seeking to live for him, and I was really trying to live for Jesus. I was wanting to live for Jesus, but I smoked. And one day, I was driving to work. It's like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm driving to work, headed to construction, singing a gospel hymn, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, and I'm smoking, you know, as out the window. While I'm singing this gospel hymn and having the best time, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and he says, if you're going to go anywhere with me, you're going to have to quit smoking. People say, was it audible? No, it's a lot louder than that. And so, you know, it's like, it was just all over me, and he even sounded like me, but I knew it was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And I became convicted, and so I started trying to quit. Beloved, let me just tell you this. It was an enslaving habit. It had a hold of me. I got down from 2 packs a day to 1 a day. You think, well, that would be easy. I wish it were. My dad smoked at the time. He got saved a year later and he quit too. And I would go in the house and his cigarettes would be out and I would take one of them and I would go upstairs. We had a 2-story house with a little bitty balcony out there about as wide as a person, you know. And so I'd go out on that balcony and I'd smoke that cigarette late at night and I would get so mad at myself. I would cry. I put them out in my hand. Well, I was working construction in those days. I didn't even hardly feel it. But still, I was like punishing myself. And I would grind them out in the palm of my hand and try to say. And finally, one night, I went to Jesus and I said, Lord Jesus, if you don't do something, I'm going to spend the rest of my life smoking one cigarette a day. Help! I'm in bondage. I'm enslaved. Deliver me. And the next night, I came in and my dad's cigarettes weren't out. And I went upstairs singing. And the next night, I came in and there they were and I walked by them. And the bondage had been broken. But, beloved, listen to me. It was bondage. It had me. And sin wants to do that. Sin wants to get a hold of you. You know, I want to tell you this. It's okay. I'm going to say some things. Listen, it's okay to love sports. But some people are in bondage to sports. Sports rules their life. Jesus is a way second. It's okay to like TV, but some people are in bondage to TV. They can watch 8 hours of TV a day and they can't find 15 minutes to read God's Word. That's bondage. Some people can get bound to their computer. I mean, they just can't make a day without getting on the computer. And I'm going to tell you this, I have to struggle with dealing with like playing solitaire and stuff. But I want you to hear, this is what Paul's talking about. Are you going to let anything else be Lord over you but Jesus? Are you going to let anything else have authority in your life to rule you and to bring you into bondage? See, this is what Paul's arguing. They're arguing, oh, Paul, it doesn't matter. Hey, listen, man, we can do whatever we want. We got the right attitude. We love Jesus, and we can sin all we want. Paul says, no, sin is not beneficial. It's going to hurt you. It's not helpful. And second, it's going to enslave you. You say, well, you know what, Pastor, everything's lawful, so I'm going to commit adultery. Uh-uh. That's wrong. Period. The Ten Commandments are still the Ten Commandments. It's wrong. And there are some things that are wrong. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to do those things. You hear me? So let me ask you this. Is there anything that enslaves you? Is there anything that's got mastery over your life? Is there any area that's really got control of you? You know, for example, you have to eat, but do you live to eat? Do you live for sport? Do you live for TV? Do you live for the computer? Is that what gives you joy and purpose in your day? Anything other than Jesus that does that, that can be something that enslaves you. And it's not beneficial to you. Second thing he answers, they say physical matters only matter physically. And Paul says, no, physical matters affect us spiritually. Why? Look there in verses 13 and following. First off, we will give an account for misusing the body. Foods for the stomach for foods. That was their argument. Hey, if I just eat, they're just going in and out. He says, no, God will destroy both it and them. He says this, now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will raise us up by his power. Let me just tell you what it means. You're going to give an account for misusing your body. I'm going to give an account for misusing my body. I'm going to stand before God and give an account for misusing my body. You hear me? You are too. So you want to take care of this body. Why? Because it's God's temple. Now, let me just say this. I'm not here talking about specific weights or anything like that. Some people never gain weight. And I want you to know I hate your guts. I love you in the Lord. The rest of me hate you. But, you know, I'm not one of those people. I was born chubby and never got over it. My hair is thinning because my body's crying out for one thin place. I mean, that's the whole reason. You know that? But I'm talking about having your body really under control. Because that's what the Bible's talking about. You misuse this body and you're going to give an account for it, okay? You're going to give an account not only for misusing the body, but for sexual immorality. Paul says five things here. He says, number one, your body belongs to the Lord. You see, your body doesn't belong to you. When you came to Christ, it became His body. There are things you don't get to do anymore. You don't get to make those decisions. Your body belongs to Jesus. Isn't that what the Bible says? The body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Verse 15, do you not know that your body is a member of Christ, part of Christ's body? Think about this, beloved. You're like a hand of Jesus. You're like a foot of Jesus. You're like a finger of Jesus. You're part of the body. Let me ask you this. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus coming down and going some of the places we've gone in our lives? Can you imagine watching some of the things we'd watch? Can you imagine Him saying some of the things we've said? Can you imagine Him thinking the thoughts we've thought? Yes? Could you imagine that? Every time you do that, because you're joined to Him, He experiences that. That's part of the cross. That's what the Bible says. You're joined to the Lord. You're part of the Lord's body. It's a really serious thing. And so your body will be raised with Christ, and it's part of Christ's body. And when you use your body sexually, young ladies, if you give yourself to a young man, you might say, well, it doesn't matter, but God says it does. Look what He says there in verse 15. He says this, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, says he, will be one flesh. You become one flesh. So if you give yourself to a young man, if he's not your husband, you've become one flesh with him anyway. Guys, same goes for you. You give yourself to a girl, you don't have the right to do that. God's got somebody for you, and you don't have the right to give your body to anybody else. That's what the Bible says. I want you to hear that. Your body is not your own. You don't get to make that decision. That decision belongs to Jesus. And you say, well, what if I've done it? Repent. God loves purity of heart. Start now, today, and be pure. Today's the day. You say, well, you know what? I've already failed. Then don't beat yourself up. You cannot live in the past. You cannot change the past. But you can start today and say, Lord, from today, I want to live for you. Today, I give you my body. Today, I want to do what's right. Today, I want to honor you because I don't want to be joined sexually to anyone else. I want to be joined to the Lord as one spirit. Look in verse 17. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. You have Christ dwelling in your body. Christ. Think about this. How much less romantic would that little encounter be if you realize that Jesus is sitting between you? Kind of changed the dynamic of it, wouldn't it? Here's what you have to do. Now listen to me, young people and adults. The first thing you have to do to sin is you have to mentally block out the reality of the presence of Jesus in your life. You have to choose to reject His presence in your heart and life. You have to say, Lord, I don't want you here. That's what it is, isn't it? And if you recognize His presence and you say, Lord, you're here, do you really want to drag Him through that? You want to drag Him through that program you watch? What you see on the internet? Do you really want to drag Him through that? Lord, let's watch this together. Can you imagine what that would be like? What habits might change if we really honestly realize Jesus Christ is joined to me? He's living here in my life today. What habits would change? Would there be some words we wouldn't say, some places we wouldn't go, some things we wouldn't do, some thoughts we wouldn't even entertain and flirt with, some TV programs we'd probably turn off? You belong to Christ. He loves you. And everything you choose that dishonors Him, drives a wedge between you and Him, takes away your spiritual joy, makes you uninterested in spiritual things, turns your heart more toward the world and less toward Christ, takes away your first love, quenches the fire of the Spirit in your life, takes away the longing that you have for him. And then you say, after you've done it for a while, you say, you know, I just don't like reading that Bible very much. It's just hard. You know why? You've quenched the fire. You, not God. And so I want you to take an honest evaluation of your life, because here's what I want you to do. I want you to see that you have the joy of glorifying God in this mortal body. When we're singing one of those songs where your heart is just lifted up to God in worship, and you're so caught up in him, you just think, we could sing this some more. This is so good. You see, that's what God intends for your life to be like. And every time we let sin rob us of that joy, every time we let sin control us and be the master over us, every time we give place to sin in our hearts and lives, we rob ourselves of the joy that we could experience in his presence. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, it's not that we want too much, it's that we want too little. We're far too easily satisfied. We're like children making mud pies when we could enjoy a holiday at the beach. We're far too easily satisfied. We let too little steal our hearts, rob us of joy, take away everything that is important. Sexual sin and misuse of the body destroy the heart. Today, I want to challenge you to just say, Lord, I want to give you my body. I give it to you. I want to glorify God in this body. Do you choose to glorify God in your body? Will you let him have this body and bring him glory through this body? It's a positive thing. It's not negative. It doesn't just mean a rigid adherence to rules. It doesn't mean walking around saying, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. It means, will that glorify Jesus? Well, then I don't want to do it. Why? Because I want to get him glory with my life.